Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
For tuning in to the Dynamic Dose of Talk Radio Show with Rashida and Robert. It's September 1st, and joining me on the mic is my co-host and brother in martial arts, Robert Steele. Steve, Bob, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's muggy, hot, sticky down in L.A. And you remember, Steve, you know, at the start, when we started this show, I used to love to make fun of my family. They did stuff that was just so funny, I just used to mention on every show. Well, after all this time, they stopped doing funny stuff because they thought it was an invasion of privacy.
Okay.
So, last night, I'm taking my wife and my daughter up to City Walk to go see the new One Direction movie.
Uh-huh. Wait, they have a movie? Really?
They have a movie? They have a movie. They actually have a movie. I'm driving up there, I'm thinking, just shoot me now. Please.
A movie. So, okay, go ahead.
You know, over the weekend, actually late in the week, somebody had passed away. I don't know, did you ever see the first Hangover movie?
No.
Okay, well, the whole premise is these guys lost their friend. So they go in the hospital looking for him, and there was an old guy in this room with the doctor. The doctor drops this guy's pants. This guy's literally 86 years old. Right?
Oh, uh-huh.
And this guy passed away this week of a massive heart attack. And I was telling my wife, and she said, I wonder how he got that part. And I said, well, you know, they're probably just looking for a really, really old guy with low self-esteem to drop trowel in front of these actors. And she did not skip a beat. She looks at me and she says, and you were busy.
Oh, God. Oh, gotta love her.
Oh, yeah. No, I have to. That's the thing. So my daughter, real quick, I got one more. My daughter went to this party the other night. And it was, a boy-girl party. I'm not sure. And she comes home and she's acting a little goofy. And I said, why are you acting so goofy? Because if any fathers are out there that have daughters, that are 15, they're not very nice to you. They just aren't. They're mean, they're spiteful, they're hateful. She came in, and she was, like, really nice to me. So the first thing I think of is, why is she nice? What's wrong?
Right.
And my wife wakes up the next morning, because it's about 12 midnight at that point, and says, I think there was probably a boy there that she liked. I automatically put my hand over my ears and start going, la, 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 la.
La, 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 la.
That's something the father wants to know. Your daughter, like, no. No, but if there's daughters out there that may be listening and you're 15, don't be nice to your dad because it's going to draw suspicion.
You hear that, teen ladies? Yeah. At least be consistent in your attitude. All right. So for our listeners out there, we've got a great show. Later on, at a little bit after 6:30 p.m. Pacific, we're going to have some members from the original Oakland, California, Jeet Kune Do group joining us. So, you know, stay tuned for that. Again, that's going to be a little after 6:30 p.m. after our first segment. And our phone number here, if you want to speak to any of our guests, is 347-677-0699. So, Bob, after 6:30, can you tell our listeners who our guests are going to be real quick?
Well, our guests are going to be Felix Macias Jr., which his father, as well as he did, but he was awful young when he studied under him. He studied under James Yun Lee and Bruce Lee in the original Oakland School, and we're going to be joined by three of his students. You know I'm going to screw this up. I just want you to know that, so be prepared. We're going to be joined by Tommy, Rudy, and mm-hmm. his other Pablo at the same time from the same phone.
Oh, right on.
It should be really
right
interesting.
On.
I'm really excited. I talked to Sifu Felix this morning, and he's also really excited about it. I'm looking forward to it.
Very cool. Very cool. So keep tuned in, listeners, a little bit after 6:30 p.m. after our first segment. We'll have Sifu Felix Macias, Junior, did I get that right? Is it Junior? And some of his
yeah.
students. Awesome. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to our first segment. Let's go ahead and get started with our shout-outs and birthdays. Let's start with the birthdays. So me and Bob started this segment last week. Sensei? Master, do we call Tommy Master? Master Tommy Boganski started our birthday clips on our show. So thanks, Tommy. So August 28th, which had just passed, we've got Guru Dirk. And, you know, to tell you the truth, Sifu Bob, I've never known Guru Dirk's last name. He's just a great friend of mine and fellow Kelly Arnisa's Scream a practitioner brother on Facebook. I've never known his name. So happy belated birthday, Guru Dirk. August 31st was Josh Lieberman's birthday.
Well, and you probably don't know this. You know, you actually met Josh when you were down here the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Not the very first time, but the second time when you went to the Masters Hall of Fame with me. And he was the guy, he was the instructor at Don Baird's school when we went to talk to Master Baird, and he wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. All right. Now I can put a face to the name. I'm like, why does that name sound familiar? Well, now I know.
Right.
Awesome. And then tomorrow we've got Master Bob Aubrey from over here in the Seattle area. And we've also got on September 3rd, Mr. Frank Cañete of the Cañete family. And the very next day, the birthday of Catherine Kitty Cañete Knight, who is the daughter of Supreme Grandmaster Kakoi Cañete. And then on September 8th, we have a shout-out going to April Vidal, who is the wife of Daryl Vidal, who was a previous guest of ours a couple months ago. So yay for those guys. And Sifu Bob, I think you've got some birthdays also.
I do. Guru Ron Blicky, which
yay.
Is an old martial artist. He's married
mm-hmm.
to Dan and Santo's daughter, Diana. His birthday
mm-hmm.
is on the 2nd, tomorrow. Al Jardine is on the 3rd. Nobody probably knows Al Jardine, but he was on, and he's still touring. He was one of the original Beach Boys from the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And
do I have him on my
Facebook?
Do I have him on my Facebook? Because I see him a lot.
Oh, you must have
then.
Or you see him on my wall.
Yeah, or something, because he likes some of my posts sometimes, and I'm like, huh, okay. All right.
And then
cool.
on the 5th of September, we have Sensei Goldie Mack out of Texas.
Very cool. Bob, you still there?
I am.
There you are.
The fire engine going by. I had to mute my mic.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow. This place is always on fire out by your place. Oh.
Well, see, we don't get the rain like you guys do to put all the fires out.
That's true. Awesome. So sorry to interrupt. So who else do we have for birthdays?
No, that was it. I was done at Goldie Mack.
Oh, awesome. Well, happy birthday, everyone. This tune is for all of you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
All right. Happy birthday to everyone from last week and this upcoming week. I hope you guys have great birthdays. All right, let's get on to our news of the week. Let's go ahead and go to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page and see what great events we have coming up. Now, if you're listening but haven't yet liked the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show page on Facebook, please do, because you can get all sorts of great information from our regular contributors on that page, information about upcoming shows, and other great news. So, you know, do like that. All right. So I just want to put a shout-out out there to Elastic Steel. Paul of Elastic Steel is a regular contributor and always contributes great videos and helpful tips and tricks for stretching for the martial arts and other activities. And he recently posted a video on the sidekick myth. He says that foot position depends on a style and can easily be controlled. So it talks a little bit about hip rotation and the muscles associated with the sidekick, and it's a great video. I went ahead and looked at it. It also talks about whether or not you should kick with a flat foot or the side edge. So, you know, check that out. And again, it's dependent on style. I used to kick with the side edge until I broke my ankle. So now I kick with the with the flat part of my heel. So, yeah, okay. All right, and I also want to put out to your very good put out a shout out to your very good friend Bob Mark Stewart. Today, as a matter of fact, he's doing a seminar in L.A. Chinatown, isn't he, Bob?
It's going on right now. It started at 4 o'clock and it ends in 1 hour.
Yeah, and this seminar is hybrid stand up fighting, and it's located at Integrated Kickboxing in L.A. Chinatown, and it's still in progress, gets done in about an hour, and it should be, it's pretty cool. That's awesome. So shout out to Guru Stewart. All right. I also want to put a shout out there to another regular contributor, Peter Schuler, who is known as Karate Doc, and he's got an interesting article about martial arts and MMA on how it's to become flexible without lower back pain. So, you know, I've known a lot of people in the wushu world, me included, that would really strive to get hyper flexibility, but a lot of times stretching the old school way can injure you a lot more than help you. And in my case, it was my hips and my back. So, you know, check out Karate Doc Schuler's article and learn some ways on how to keep flexible without injuring yourself. So, and I think that's it for our shout-outs. Nope, I take that back. I'd like to place a shout-out to Master Douglas Wong. He's going to be doing a workshop in Chula Vista, California on September 21st at 10 a.m., and you want to contact Grandmaster Gary Amon at 619-804-5000, or you can email for more information, Grandmaster Amon, that's A-M-E-N, Grandmaster Amon at yahoo.com. So don't miss this chance to train with Grandmaster Doug Wong. That'll be great, and that's September 21st. Awesome.
Okay, and I do have one.
Yes.
Just came to me from Lee Lolio. And it's world champion, Black Belt Magazine, Hall of Famer, Hanshi, Mike Stone, 10th Dan, will be making a rare visit from the Philippines and conducting a special seminar with special guests and masters in attendance October 12th from 2 to 5 p.m., co-hosted by Lee Lolio, 4th Dan, and Sensei Price Loeffler at his dojo at 15203 Crenshaw Boulevard in Gardena, 90249 is the zip. The phone number is 444-456-7806. Additional details will be coming soon about this event and a Facebook page. Also, if any school owners or instructors are interested in hosting Hanshi Mike Stone while he's visiting the greater L.A. area from October 7th to the 14th, they can email Lee Lolio at Lee, leel210@yahoo.com for arrangement. And there you have it.
Very cool. Very cool. I just found one more, and this is going to be the last of the events and shout-outs. It's a upcoming tournament called the Tiger Classic, and this is going to be on Saturday, October 19th, 2013, location being 33 South Wilkes-Barre Boulevard in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, 18702. And for more information, you can contact Sitaras Karate, that's S-I-T-A-R-A-S, karate, at AOL.com. And they'll have events in kata, weapons, breaking, self-defense, and kumite. So it's going to be all around, not just kata and kumite, but there's going to be weapons, breaking competitions, and self-defense competitions. So don't miss that. October 19th, 2013. Sitaras Karate, S-I-T-A-R-A, let me try that again, S-I-T-A-R-A-S, karate at AOL.com, and that's the Tiger Classic. All right, very cool, and I think, I'm double-checking here to make sure I don't have any other shout-outs. I guess, going down the page here. Nope, I guess that's it. So unless you have any other shout-outs, Bob, I think we'll go right into the health news. What do you think?
Let's do that.
All right, let's go right into the health news. All right, now, we've probably all heard about the benefits of omega-3 fatty acids that are found in fatty fish. Now, this particular news story is about those benefits of fatty fish. Now, studies have shown that fatty fish may help prevent rheumatoid arthritis. So, now, numerous medical studies have shown that fatty fish is healthy for the heart. Now, researchers say it may also help prevent a debilitating type of arthritis. Now, just one serving a week of fatty fish, such as salmon, or four servings a week of a leaner fish, such as cod, may cut your risk of developing rheumatoid arthritis by half, according to a study in the Annals of the Rheumatic Diseases. Now, in the study, researchers reviewed the diets of 32,000 Swedish women who filled out two food questionnaires, one in the late 1980s and another a decade later. Now, the results showed that the women who consistently ate at least one serving of fatty fish each week for a period of about 10 years developed rheumatoid arthritis at half the rate of women who ate little or no fish. Interesting. The researchers say the results held up even after taking lifestyle factors into account, such as how often people smoked or drank alcohol. Now, researchers speculate that omega-3 fatty acids, which is the healthy fat in the fish, has a protective anti-inflammatory effect on the immune systems of the women who ate more of the fish. So when it comes to overall health, experts recommend that people eat at least two servings of seafood, either fish or shellfish, each week. This study is an additional argument to follow that recommendation and to make one of those servings fatty fish, says study author Dr. Alicia Wolk, professor of nutritional epidemiology. I'm sorry, Bob. I can never say these big long words. Epidemiology. There we go. Oh God. Let's just say that she's a professor at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden. Epidemiology.
Nice.
There we go. Well, I'll be able to say it later. Now, the study shows promising results. However, folks, there are a few caveats. So don't think that all you got to do is eat fish and then you'll be arthritis free. It's not like that. Now, the population in the United States and in many parts of the world is more diverse than Sweden. So that's something we have to remember because the results may not be the same elsewhere. Now, also, smoking is known to be a high-risk factor for rheumatoid arthritis, and though it was controlled in the study, it's sometimes hard to measure that accurately. So overall, the study was well done, and the results are encouraging, says Dr. Jeff Lieberman, a rheumatologist and adjunct clinical associate professor at Emory University in Atlanta. He says, I would recommend to patients that one or two servings of fatty fish a week may have some preventative effects on arthritis and should not have any significant downside. The message is not that you need to be eating fish every day, he The message is modest amounts of fresh water or fatty fish may have some potential benefit. So, you know, just a word of caution, you know, don't look at it as the, you know, elixir of life or anything like that. You know, don't just rely on that. You know, rely on a healthy lifestyle also. Awesome. Very cool. So that was it for the health news. I think it's time for Bob's Weird News. Come on, Weird News. My Weird News. There I go. Yeah. My alter ego was taking a little bit of a break there. Sorry. What do we got?
Okay. Now, this, it's funny. The title starts out, "If the key to a long marriage is laughter, these clowns are set." Bill Tedeschi and Patty Kowicki tied the knot Friday at an annual clown festival in central Pennsylvania. The Harrisburg Patriot News report, Kowicki literally needed Tedeschi to start the ceremony. They did a bit in their ceremony that they performed at the Clown Fest 2 years ago. Tedeschi wore a fake nose, black lipstick, and full clown regalia as he exchanged vows with Kowicki. At the festival in Lancaster, the bride wore the same dress she used in the skit 2 years ago, plus a lace headband to go along with her red flamed wig. Guests got in on the act, and so did the officiant, a fellow clown. Tedeschi says his fellow clowns are more than friends. They're family.
Oh,
well,
clown family.
Isn't that cool? I know.
That is cool.
Okay, West Virginia. It is illegal. I'm going right on into weird laws. It is illegal to snooze on a train.
What?
What? Yeah.
What?
You can't go sleep on the train. Whistling underwater. Now, I don't get how they did this one. Whistling underwater is prohibited.
What the hell?
Whistling underwater while trying to hold their breath.
I guess it's only if you're like breathing out. You're gonna have to come up for air before you whistle again.
That's right. Wisconsin. Butter substitutes are not allowed to be served in a state prison.
What?
You see, they are insane.
One may not camp. Now, this one has to be 100 years old. One may not camp in a wagon on any public highway or risk a fine of up to $10.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to put litter into someone else's trash receptacle without express permission from that person.
Excuse me. Can I put my trash in your receptacle? Yeah. Like, how do you go about asking people? Yeah.
Well, you know, in L.A., you've got people that use other receptacles to dump trash in, and then you've got the dumpster divers that go in looking for aluminum cans and things like that as well.
Right.
Now,
right.
One more. In Brookfield, tattooing is illegal unless it is done for medical purposes. See, in Brookfield, people, you're screwed.
All right, so if there are any people out there that have a tattoo and had to get it because of medical purposes, please call us. We'd like to know what that's all about. We would. Oh, that's awesome. I really love the weird news and the weird laws. I mean, it's like, I can't wait till you get to the foreign countries' weird laws. That's going to be fun.
Well, that would be quick because I'm already in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right? That's awesome. Well, I think that's it for Bob.
Weird News.
All right. Now, before we go to a really quick break, we're actually making good time here. And for our listeners that are just tuning in, stay tuned in. Our phone number here is 347-677-0699. And we're going to be joined by Sifu Felix Macias here in hopefully about five to seven minutes. We're just going to be waiting for our guests to be calling in here within the next 5 minutes. So stay tuned. But before we go to a quick PSA break, I just want to do the last part of our first segment, and that's the trivia facts of the week. Now, this week, we're not going to actually have the contest. I'm just going to put out some random trivia facts so that way you can fill your brain with useless stuff. So, anyhow, did you know that Frederick Bauer invented the Pringles can? And when he passed away in 2008, his ashes were buried in one. No joke. Number two, Ben and Jerry of Ben and Jerry Ice Cream. I love Ben and Jerry Ice Cream. Do they have Ben and Jerry Ice Cream all over the United States, right, Bob? It's not just a California thing.
Oh, yeah, they've got one down here, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So Ben and Jerry, those guys of the ice cream, they learned how to make ice cream by taking a $5 correspondence course that was offered by Penn State. And they decided to split one course. So for $2.50, now you've got a great, you know, USA-wide ice cream. So pretty cool. All right, last trivia fact of the week to fill your brain with useless stuff. When the mummy of Ramses II was sent to France in the mid-1970s, it was actually issued a passport. Now, the occupation of Ramses on this passport, King. And that is it for the trivia of the week. All right. Let's do this, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get a quick trivia break and get like that. And be sure to click the escape
Hey, Russ, you're cutting in and out really bad.
I know. Can you hear me now? I'm not online. And so,
you're cutting in and out really bad, Russ.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is, if you have your board up, I need you to connect to 370. If you have your board up, because that's the reason for my computer, something I don't know what's going on. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Did you get that?
Oh, not anymore. You're cutting out again. I love these technical difficulties.
Thank you. Nope, that's not working either.
Bob,
can you still hear me? Okay, well,
I got you now.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to connect area code 270 because I can't. My board's going down.
I'm off. I thought it was me. I will in a second, though. Keep talking.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to need you to connect area code 270. Go ahead and just connect 270. We're not going to go to break. I'm going to restart my computer, and you'll still be able to broadcast even though my computer's restarting. So go ahead and connect 270 and 510, and you can go ahead and start the questions.
Oh, nice, because I'm not hooked up right now.
Oh, you're not?
No. Oh, there we go. I'm going to now. I'm going to the studio.
My board's down.
I love these problems. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got Sifu on the line.
Well, he's not online. He's on hold. So I'm going to need
right,
you.
He's on hold,
put,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to put area code 270 to bring up their mic and bring up area code 510 and bring up their mic because my board is dead. I can't do it from here. I'm going to have to restart my computer.
Can you hear it, Tom?
Good afternoon, Sifu Felix and area code 270. You are live on the air with Dynamic Dojo on Blog Talk Radio. Sifu Felix,
hey, thank
you,
sir.
That is good to hear. So
hello.
Who we
hello,
have
Bob?
Today? You've got some students with you.
Hello.
Felix, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. I can barely hear you.
Oh, there you are. That's much better.
I got you on speakerphone now. How you doing today, Bob?
I'm doing well. So who's right there with you? Which one of your students have you got?
Pretty much all of them. I got a lot of them here with me today. You know?
Really?
But the two that we'll be speaking with
cool.
will be Tommy Robles and Pablo Correll. You know, they'll be the two guys who really couldn't make it down today. He had a thing to do. And I got a bunch of other guys here willing to say a word later on.
Very good, very good. Well, I apologize. We had some technical difficulties. Rusty had to go restart her computer because it was just jacked up. And from the beginning, that was how it was. So Sifu Felix, starting with you, tell us a little bit about your background, how you started, where you started. It's always been with JKD. Did you start other places? Tell us about it.
Yeah, mainly with JKD when I started. I started probably like I was about... I want to say 9, 10 years old, my father growing up with it. It was in our family, you know. That's what we began with. A lot of gung fu, and my father learned with Jimmy and Bruce back in the day, that was our roots right there. And a little bit of boxing, a little bit of this and that, but mainly JKD.
Oh, very cool. Now, do you have Tommy with you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Tommy, tell us about yourself and your lineage.
Oh, how you doing, Bob?
I'm good, thank you.
A little bit about myself. I started martial arts when I was 14 years old at a karate school in the town where I'm from. And then I stuck with that for a while, and I trained other over there. So his name was Sifu James Halter, and I was doing that for a while, and then my uncle, who knows Felix, his name is Alfredo Salais, Sifu Alfredo Salais, and he asked me would I like to learn some gung fu, and I said, sure. So I came over to the garage over here, out here in Hayward, California, and met Felix, and I first thing right off when I met him, I instantly knew it was like the real deal. I didn't know exactly what type of gung fu it was or JKD or any type of martial art. I just knew it was a type of martial art. But what I was seeing in the garage from the guys who were in here at the time was very impressive, and it was like it wasn't like anything I'd ever seen before. And that pretty much started me off on my path with Sifu Felix Macias. And the rest is history. I've been training with him since 2000 all the way up now to 2013.
Oh, very cool. Now, you've got somebody else there that has been we've been emailing back and forth the past couple of days. Pablo, Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm good, Paolo. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your studies with Felix and where you started and how you came up. And you wrote me a little bio that was actually pretty interesting.
Back in 99, I graduated high school, and at the time I was working here in Hayward in a shoe repair shop. I used to work as a cobbler, it was funny because I was going in through the, I was going to go enlist in the army, and I was going through the whole thing. And one of these days, you know, this sharp looking man came in there, you know, like, if you look at him, it looked like Charles Bronson. You know, he went there with his hat down and stuff, and he came in there, and that's Felix Macias Sr., you know. And he came in there, and, you know, I used to make some orthopedic insults for him because he has a little problem with his feet, I guess. And, you know, we used to have this magazine shop right down the shop where I worked, and he came in there with a magazine. It was an Inside Kung Fu magazine. So he just told me, hey, come on, you know, come down to my house if you want to learn martial arts. He never mentioned, you know, what he did or nothing, but, you know, I was like, hey, you know, as a kid, you know, I always wanted to take martial arts, you know. I always used to watch The Karate Kid, you know, so I used to be like, you always want to, you know, be a, you know, wax on kind of guy, you know, but, you know, it was just kind of too expensive. So I remember I showed up to his house, you know, and we just started training, but, it was funny because it was never no kicking or screaming or punching. It was nothing, you know. He didn't really, you know, that wasn't his intention. His intent was to, you know, develop technique and stuff. So it was kind of cool because, like, you know, a month into training, you know, he pulled out this briefcase and, you know, started showing me all the pictures of Bruce and stuff like that and all the books and all the, you know, the personal memorabilia that he had with him and Bruce and James. And, you know, and it was kind of funny because, you know, that sold me, you know, if I just fell in love with it. And, you know, I didn't enlist in the Army. And it was funny because when I told my recruiter that I wasn't going to enlist, he left me out there and I forgot where. And he got mad, so I had to get picked up. But, you know, that was my introduction, you know, in 99. And I started with Felix Macias Sr. And, you know, and that's my chief. Where I've been with him ever since, you know, and I'm just kind of, you know, I'm kind of glad that it just happened to be. And it's kind of funny story because James Lee House, that used to live on 3039 Monticello Avenue, I'm actually 5 minutes away from him. He lives right up the street from me, so I always drive by and I kind of look at the house and just kind of think about how it was when Bruce used to be there. But, you know, that's kind of how I got into JKD. It's pretty cool.
Oh, very cool. Sifu Rusty, did you clear up the technical difficulties, and are you back with us?
Sifu's here.
I'm back, but can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. Hello. How you doing?
Oh, okay. Awesome. 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 Yeah, I don't know what was going on with my computer. Sorry about that, everyone. I just want to thank everyone for joining us. Sorry about the technical difficulties. It's a pleasure to have you on our show, Sifu Felix and Pablo and Tommy and Rudy. I just need to know, though, who is calling from 270? Is it Tommy, Pablo, or Rudy?
From 270. You know,
that
I don't know. Actually,
lucky.
I am sitting here in my garage where we practice, and I'm calling from the 510 area code. We're all sitting here together.
Oh, all of you. Okay.
Yes, we're in our speakerphone. So
oh,
I got a few
okay.
of the guys here as well. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to get one special shout-out to a good friend of mine, Alexander Whittier. He's with me now, and he took a gold medal in Taekwondo in the 96 Pan American Games.
Oh, awesome.
You know, and
awesome.
I wanted to get him on the air so he could say hello to you guys and give you his perspective on what we're doing.
Right on. Yeah, let's do that.
How you doing?
Really good.
Very well.
My name is Alexander Whittier. I'm a third-degree black belt in Taekwondo, certified WTF, you know, World Taekwondo Federation. I started martial arts in 1979. My first art was Kung Fu and Wing Chun. Didn't really like it back then because I used to watch Bruce Lee movies in San Jose, Jose Theater, or in San Jose, California, and I always wanted to kick. I used to see Bruce Lee kick a lot, so I wanted to do that. And then ever since 79, I started Taekwondo. And then after that, I just started doing it for years and years. And then I went to the Pan American Games in 96 and the gold medal for Team USA in 1996 in Disneyland. And then
cool.
I was real good with my feet, real fast. And I wanted to do more of a hand style. So I looked up Oakland JKD, and that's when I found Sifu Felix. And ever since then, you know, I've been loving it, and I've been training here for about 2 years now, and everything's going great. So now I always, you know, so I do the chicken do with the taekwondo, mix it up a little bit, and it's great, and I love it. So, you know, I'm happy about
it.
I'm glad
cool.
For Felix. So I'm happy I found him, and I'm loving it.
Awesome. Very cool. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you
awesome,
for having me.
Awesome.
There you go. Here's Seafood Felix.
All righty. So,
hello.
I just need to know, area code 270, your mic is on. Can you tell us who you are, please?
Yes, I was calling in. My name is Rod Morgan from Kentucky. I just saw the number. Very interested to ask Seafood. I'm going to see us a question.
Sweet. Awesome. Please go ahead.
Hey, Seafood Macias, Rod Morgan from Kentucky.
Hey, how you
guys,
doing, man? Good to hear from
I'm
you.
I'm doing good, sir. Doing really well. I know that you guys and your father studied with James Lee and Bruce Lee, and it's a known fact that James Lee studied iron palm and passed that skill on to Bruce Lee. There's a lot of pictures of Bruce Lee not only training it but breaking bricks and things like that. And I know you guys have retained that skill in your training along with the herbs and the jiao and some of the more internal stuff. Could you please expound on this and why you guys have kept it and maybe why all the other schools have forgotten it? And I'll just tell you, I'll listen to you off the air.
All right, great, great. Well, the reason why maybe the other schools per se forgot about it is because they weren't taught it. Here in Oakland, the original school, James Lee and Al Novak were two of the best iron palmers here in the Bay Area. And, you know, staying in tradition, that's what we learned. We stayed with the iron palm, learned about the herbs, the qigong, and the whole nine yards or what have you. And Jimmy Lee's palm guy, you know, his iron palm guy was Kuyu Chong. You know, if you look up the lineage, that's probably one of the best lineages of iron palm you can get, you know.
Awesome. Very
hey, thanks,
cool.
guys.
All right, thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Thanks for calling, Rod. All right. So for our listeners out there, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. And I want to apologize again for the technical difficulties that we had a little bit earlier. But we are back on track, and we've got members of the original Oakland JKD school. So call in if you'd like to speak with Sifu Macias and members of the original Oakland JKD school. So Sifu Macias, speaking of James Lee, what was the training like? I'm sure our listeners would want to know. You know, it's the late 60s. You know, it's like what a lot of people would consider, you know, the classical era of martial arts. What was it like training under James Lee and Bruce Lee?
Well, training under James and Bruce, being a kid there, you know, I did a lot of visiting, me and my brother, you know, going down to watch some of the training. The only training I actually got from James was you know, we'd go visit, and he'd be down there, and we'd kick some of the apparatus that he had up there, and some of the punching dummies and things like that. But my father was mainly the one who learned from James. And the workouts here were very intense. They were very internal. Did a lot of the iron palm work. They worked the forearms. They did, they worked the steel shot bag, and they used some of the jiao and the jiao is an herbal formula for iron palm as well as the qigong. There are things there, you know, the regimen there for them was a short style. It wasn't very long. It was, similar with some of the Wing Chun, Southern Mantis, the Bok Mei, which is the wide eyebrow,
mm-hmm.
and what have you, you know. They did things there differently. It was extremely internal.
Very cool. Very cool. And Bob, back to you, buddy. Bob. Where'd Bob go?
There it goes. I was on mute again. Plane went over. Sifu, you and I have talked over the last couple of days. I want you to tell us about the evolution of Jeet Kune Do, where it's gone from when you started to where it is now, and what you've seen.
Well, I've seen a lot of theatrics, you know, coming out of some of the other schools and everything, stuff like that. And it's pretty, pretty fabricated. It's pretty easy to do now. You can pretty much get a certificate and a letter of authenticity to teach over a weekend. And here where we are, it's got to be earned. It has to be well earned. You got to spend time. It takes years. It doesn't take weekends. And you know, the evolution of the JKD that we use is really, really tight. You know, we have
we use certain exercises, foot drills, hand drills, similarity to the Chi Sao and the sticking hands that we use. And it just become, it's kind of hard to explain if you've never really seen it or felt it, you know, coming here through the school here. It's like a lot of other schools, they practice a lot of, everybody's into movies, and so they want to see high-flying kicks, and they want to see a whole lot of shuffling and a whole lot of this and that. Bruce Lee was Bruce Lee, and James Lee was James Lee. And I also want to mention Al Novak. He was a really great guy. He had great iron palm skills, and he was the Siloam guy, right along with Jimmy Lee. And also a good friend of ours, Sid Campbell. He passed away a few years ago out here in the area. And they knew Bruce and Jimmy really, really well as well. It's, the Oakland School, it was they were more traditional. They were a couple of Oriental guys, Chinese guys, Jimmy Lee and Bruce Lee. They got together and they, one thing led to another. And everything became super tight and really different, from some of the other schools. If I can try to point out a few more things, let me know.
Oh, very cool. I've always been really interested about the lineage. It's simple. You and I have discussed before. It's like a game of telephone. In the 60s, it was this. And in the 80s, it was something else. And in the 90s and 2000s, it's something completely different than it was in the 60s.
Yeah, everything. A lot of names. You're right. They changed. A lot of guys used the John Fan name. There was Bruce Lee's name. Then they used the concepts, GKD concepts, for my terminology, I really don't like to use the word concept based on the fact that a concept is an idea, might work and might not work. Here I spend time training my guys, assuring the boys here that it will work. I don't like to put them out there in the chop block, defend themselves and with something that, just up in the air might work. I don't like to do that at all. It's got to be a proven fact, and you got to spend time in there.
Very cool. Awesome.
All right. Hey, anything else you want to discuss?
What's going on? Okay. All right, listeners, 347-677-0699. That's our number here. We're talking with Sifu Felix Macias from the original Oakland JKD School. Please call in if you have any questions for Sifu or would like to talk to anybody. That's from the school. We've got Rudy, Tommy, and Pablo from the school. Those are Felix's students. And we have someone on hold right now. I'm going to go ahead and check on that person to see if they actually want to come on or if they're listening. So, Bob, I'll go ahead and give the mic back to you.
Okay. Hey, Sifu, are there any other arts that you mix in with your Jeet Kune Do?
Well, the arts that belong to the Jeet Kune Do are pretty much a lot of the short style of the arts that were in China, all the way down to the Shaolin. There's not a whole lot of other things mixed in. For us, it's like we don't, I don't use the sabat, I don't use the fencing and things like that. Ours is closely, related to the boxing, some of the footwork, as well as, it's kind of hard to say, I would prefer just to use the term short style Chinese Kung Fu.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Sifu, would you mind taking a caller? We've got a caller. It might be one of your students in the 510 area code.
Sure, why not?
Let's do that.
All right.
510, first three numbers, 815. You're on the Dynamic Dojo Live. Do you have a question for Sifu?
No, not a question. I just really want to say it's... Sifu Felix, this is Randy.
Randy, how you doing, man?
What's up, Sifu? I just want to say it's great that you're actually getting noticed and getting out there and getting the school out there as well. By far, Felix is the real deal. What he shows us is good for the streets, good to defend yourself. I need to get back down there and train with him, but just really glad to hear that he's out there trying to get our school out there as well.
Very cool. Awesome. Thanks for calling, Randy.
Thanks
did you want
to... Okay.
Yeah, did you want to listen to the rest of the show? I can just mute your mic if you want.
Okay.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, ma'am. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Very cool. So our chat board is blowing up, Sifu Bob. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Wait, 12. 12. We got 12 people listening live online right now. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually looking at the chat board. That just means that we've got 12 people live through the Blog Talk Radio Marquee. That might mean, though, that we might have 100 other listeners that are listening through Facebook. So, you know, I think this is great that Sifu Macias and members of the original JKD group could join us today, and that the listening world can hear a little bit about what it was like for you to train with Bruce and James and all that great stuff. That's really cool. Now, Sifu Macias, and for Felix and Pablo and Tommy and for Pablo and Tommy and Rudy, if you guys want to chime in, please do. Now, a lot of people tend to think that JKD is just a mixture of styles, and you've got people out there that'll just mix stuff together and then, you know, go out there and say, oh, I teach JKD, that kind of thing. Now, Sifu, since you trained directly under James and Bruce, you know, and pretty much got it from the source, you know, I'm sure the listeners would want to know, do you guys mix any other arts right now with the JKD that you originally learned, or do you tend to keep it as pure as possible, direct from the teachings from James and Bruce?
I'm sorry, Sifu, when you were on hold, I'd already asked that question. I apologize.
Okay.
Oh, no problem. No, I don't mix anything else. I want to keep it pure as possible. I don't like mixing everything else that don't belong in there. JKD is not an art created by 26 different martial arts. Any one of us could have done that, you know.
Right.
And it's like you could have went to all these different schools, got one move from each of them, and said, okay, this is JKD. JKD ain't made up like that. It's learned. It's a well-respected art if done properly, you know. It's nothing that it's your art, your martial art, no matter what you're studying, should be able to uphold and be combative with all other arts. A lot of people nowadays, they get a little bit of this and they get a little bit of that, and, you know, they don't spend too much time there. You know, everybody teaches different. All the Sifus, the instructors, they all have their certain way. And the more Sifus you go to, the more different ways you learn. And then in the end, you kind of, like, get off track because you're trying to remember what everybody else told you. So, you know, I recommend if you're going to learn something, learn it to the fullest, you know.
I totally agree, Sifu. Sifu, we have a couple other callers. Want to take a caller while we're here?
Sure do. Why not?
I'm trying to pull them up right now. Their mic's going live. And usually I say my technical difficulty usually is due to Rusty, and usually that's the case.
All right. Hello?
Yeah,
we're really getting a lot of static.
I think because we are having technical difficulties with the board. When did you meet Bruce Lee, Sifu? You met him in the late
60s. When I was a kid, I met him. I was going to my father a lot. You know, my dad, like I said, he was a student of Jimmy Lee's. Studied there, actually. Studied with Jimmy and Al before Bruce got there. Jimmy and Al, they had a little school here in the Hayward area before they went to Jimmy's, and from there was to the garage. About a year later, Bruce Lee came into the picture, you know. And when I first met Bruce Lee, I had no idea who Bruce Lee was. We were kids and everything, but I knew who Kato was from the Green Hornet, you know.
Sure.
And as soon as my dad says, hey, let's go meet Kato, we were like, wow. You know, so, we used to talk to him and see him, get our autographs, and he'd call the house and talk to my brother on the phone. And it was cool, you know. It was like, you know, part of the family.
Oh, very, very cool. Now, you actually trained with Bruce, though, a little bit.
No, I didn't. My father did. You know, he did. And he's, because remember now, I was a kid. You know, I was growing up, and if I learned anything, it would have been from Jimmy, you know, going down to the garage, visiting some of the kicks and a few of the punches on, like I said, different apparatus that he had. But as far as Bruce, no, I didn't, you know. You know, being truthful and everything, we'd get our autographs and we'd talk to him and, you know, things like that, you know. But he was pretty busy, you know, with the adults.
Right, right. You know, and did you find that Bruce Lee became less accessible because he was doing all his movies, you know, the late 60s, early 70s?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, he wanted to be an actor. He, you know, he wanted to. Bruce Lee was a no-nonsense kind of guy. You know, he was going to do something. He was going to do it right. He wasn't going to play around, you know. And just the way his attitude was, he was a perfectionist, you know. People got to remember there's only one Bruce Lee. Everybody could imitate and do whatever he did, you know. You know what I'm talking about? They get up in the morning and jog the same time he did, ate what he did, do all the push-ups and sit-ups, but you're not going to be Bruce Lee. People don't understand that Bruce Lee was a gifted individual, you know. And to be like him, yeah, you know, if it's your idol, well, sure, you want to be as close as possible. But like I said, again, you know, he was a gifted athlete.
Right, right. Now, when did your father actually start training? You said he started training in the early 60s with James M. Lee?
Yeah, the early 60s with James Lee and L. Novak. You know, that was, I want to say, 62 probably, somewhere around there, super early. And then there was talk of Bruce Lee coming into the neighborhood, to the Oakland area back then, you know, but that was about a year later when my father actually met him.
Oh, very cool. Okay, well, I am back. Let's try to take another caller.
All right, great.
Area code 916, you are live on the Dynamic Dojo with our guest, Felix Macias. Do you have a question for Sifu?
Oh, hey, Felix, it's Matt, one of the students.
What's up, Matt? How you doing, man? How's everything?
Good, man. How you guys all doing?
Pretty good. Not bad. Gathered around here in the garage and talking with Bob right now, having a great time.
Oh, that's great, man. I've been listening in. Yeah, I'll tell you guys a little bit about myself. I've been training with Felix for over a year now, I'd say. And I recently moved to Sacramento, missed training with him because you can't find anything like Oakland JKD. And I started off when I was a kid doing Kenpo and moved around a lot and then went into Aikido. And then one day my friend told me, he goes, hey, let's check this place out. It's supposed to be JKD. I'm like, okay. But I didn't know it was, you know, the original Oakland JKD. I didn't know what I was getting into. So I walk in the garage to see the guys training and stuff, no uniforms, no belts, none of that stuff. You got, you know, newcomers, you got advanced people working with one another one-on-one. And it was just tight. I mean, the equipment, everything. And as soon as you go in and you find out what your weakness is, immediately, I remember working with Pablo, and Pablo was just like testing my balance and working with my feet work, and I learned so much about myself as a fighter, and I just want to thank you so much, Felix, and it means so much to me, and I can't wait to get back down there with you guys and train with you guys.
Oh, great. Come on down when you get a chance.
Oh, yeah. You can't find anything like this. You got to check it out because I see a lot of videos, see people doing JKD, and you don't see it. It's lost, you know, and if you want the real deal, you got to come down to Hayward.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that is so awesome that you said that. Thank you so much for calling. Do you want to listen to the rest of the show? We'll just mute your mic.
No, I'll listen on the computer, and I just want to say one thing. Also, I help manage the Facebook page, so if anybody wants to come and take a look at it, it's Oakland JKD on Facebook. And thanks for having me on the show, Bob.
You got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Take care.
All right.
There she is.
I'm back again. I don't know what's going on. I'm beginning to wonder whether or not it's actually the Blog Talk Radio server, because that happens sometimes, because this computer never messes up like this. So, yeah, that's kind of weird. But Sifu Bob, you know, if I start cutting out again, let me know so I could like nip it in the bud and stuff like that before everything else starts going weird. So let's go ahead and take another caller. Here we go. This is area code 616, first three digits 584. So 646-584. You're on Dynamic Dojo. Do you have a question for Sifu Felix?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. Well, my name is Sean from New York City. Trained with Sifu Garcia out here. He's from JKD. So just wanted to thank, obviously, Sifu Felix and the guys over in Oakland for all the contributions they've made to JKD and the influence that has across the nation. So, you know, out here in New York City, obviously, Sifu Garcia trains with you, Sifu Felix. And, you know, he brings a lot of the stuff that you guys build on over there back to New York City. And it's just great to have that valuable resource, you know, that we can tap into all the way out here in New York. So I got a quick question though. So what do you say to the folks who basically argue that after, you know, Bruce transitioned from Oakland, that, you know, him and JKD in turn evolved and somehow is, you know, better than, or, you know, a higher evolution than what was being done in Oakland? What do you say to those folks?
Well, I say to those folks, you need to come down here and take a look, you know, at what we got to offer, what we do. You know, things are done differently here. Like I said, we got a lot of internalists. We have a lot of, ours is more shorter style. And everybody's out there arguing about it and doing their thing. You know, mm-hmm. I say just let them have it, you know. And, boy, something like, that's a pretty good question you had there. I'm really glad you came up with it. Mm-hmm. Just like I say, you know, hey, it is what it is. Either you want to learn the real stuff or you want to learn theatrics. Take it from there.
Beautiful. Definitely. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Definitely. Thanks for calling, Sean. All right.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Hey, say hello to Rich and to the boys out there. And Rich is one hell of a guy.
Yeah, definitely. They're all
awesome.
Listening right now.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks for calling, Sean. All right, back to you, Sifu Bob.
Very cool. Well, Sifu, we have another caller that you may or may not know. Let me bring him on. Area code 510, first three numbers, 538. You are live on Dynamic Dojo. Do you have a question for Sifu?
No, not a question. Just this is Rudy Romo, the assistant assistant instructor with Felix.
I could, hey, Rudy, get on. All right.
Yeah, Bob,
sorry,
you could make
it. Guys right here.
No, just comments, you know. I just want to say that I've been learning a lot. I've been with Sifu. I started training with Sifu Macias Sr. I trained with him for about 5 years. I'm with Felix Jr. right now. And I just want to say, you know, that like Felix says, it's a real deal. There's no theatrics involved. It's all just hardcore JKD. And that's about it, you know. I just want to thank Felix and the guys that for everything, you know. I mean, it's a journey, and it's going to continue to do it.
Very cool.
Very
now,
cool.
Before we go back, Sifu, I've got a question for you. What is your, because there's different aspects of it, what is your ranking system like, certificates, levels? How do you rank your students, or do you rank them at all?
Well, I really don't rank them at all. What I do is the way I rank them is by years and persistence. You know, if you're going to come to work out, you put in what you get out of it, you know. Some guys, they can come 5 years and don't put in that much. Some guys can come 1 year and put in more than them. Depends on the individual. I don't give out rankings or certificates and stuff like that. We just I just do it by work. And if I feel the guy is ready to move on and to teach and to represent what we have, then I'm going to make him one of my assistant instructors. It has to be well-earned. It can't be fabricated or bought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, we don't I don't do that. I don't like to sell out. I don't like to give a certificate out over the weekend. You know, it's too much of that is happening right now. And Jimmy and Bruce and the boys in Oakland, they never done that. And it's, you know, like I say, you know, we're going to stick to it, and that's how we do it here.
Awesome.
That is so cool.
Very cool. Wow. Does anyone else hear that?
Hello?
Sounds like a...
I do, as a
matter of fact. Yeah, it sounds like a banshee. Sounded like a banshee just came through.
Oh, yeah. I'm right here next to the bar track.
That's
the people
applauding. That's what people applauding.
That goes right
every
10 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the applause for Felix.
There you go.
All right. Hey, Felix, I just want to say thanks, man. I'll talk to you guys soon, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks for being on, Rudy, and give a shout-out for us. Sure appreciate it.
All right, man. Right on. Thanks.
All right, bro. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
There's some applause. I was hoping Rudy would be able to stick around. Awesome. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. We got a caller from area code 408. Go ahead. You're on Dynamic Dojo.
Hey, hello. This is Andres Romano.
Hi. Hey, Andres. How you doing, man?
Hey, Felix. Hey, Sifu. I'm listening to you, and it's great to hear you being recognized. And like I said, I've been there, and I'm representing you here in the Southern California and Orange County area. I miss training with you. I got to head back out there and get some more training in pretty soon. But it's just good to hear you being recognized and the school being recognized, and it's awesome. And anybody out there near Hayward and Oakland area, you need to go and stop and train with Sifu. It's an experience, and it's a great experience.
Yeah, this guy right here, Bob, a friend of mine, Andres, the guy talking on the phone, he was the guy I was telling you about up in your area, not too far, you know.
Right, yeah, you were talking about him near Disneyland, absolutely.
Yeah, I told him to come down there and lay down some roots and, try to continue the teachings of the Oakland JKD school. You know, I told him maybe you guys might want to hook up and meet up, too, as well, and take it from there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, great.
All right, well, good luck with this. This is
all right,
great to hear you
lot.
On here.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Andres. All right. Our phone number here, listeners, is 347-677-0699. And Sifu Bob, I'm sorry, because I've been like in and out because of my dumb computer all tripping out on me and stuff like that, I'm lost as to who is actually with us other than Sifu Felix. Is Pablo and Tommy with us?
They're here with me.
Oh, okay. And
yeah,
Tommy,
you have any questions for them?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to ask Pablo and Tommy, and I was kind of hoping Rudy would be able to stay on. And if he's listening, please call back, Rudy. But I just wanted to ask Pablo and Tommy, you know, in all these years that you've been training with Sifu Felix, what's your favorite aspect of the training? Because everyone gets into the martial arts for, you know, different reasons and stuff like that, and people tend to, you know, to be attracted to certain parts of the training. So why don't we go ahead and start with Pablo. What do you love most about JKD?
Hi, this is Pablo. For me, you know, I spend most of my training with Felix Macias Sr. You know, so for me, I think one of the most important things that I fell in love with was the internal part of the martial arts. Was, you know, like the breathing, the Qigong, you know, the learning how to, you know, there is a way to train, and there is a fighting method. There is two different sets, you know, sometimes when you look at people, they're doing their forms or they're doing their training, you know, and then you know when you actually get down to fighting, it becomes different, you know, and so for me, you know, just the training part, you know, just the development of the technique, you know, because, you know, in reality, you're the one who's going to fight, you know, I'm going to fight, and, you know, Bruce and James are not here to fight for us, you know, they did great because it was them, you know, they were superb, they, you know, just like everybody else, but, you know, when it comes down to, you know, JKD, the art, you know, it's us, we have to represent ourselves. And what we do is, like, it's our self-expression. So, you know, like, you know, so I think, you know, the best thing is that I've learned is, you know, just to be the best I can be, you know, not be the best Bruce or not be the best James. And for me, you know, just learning, you know, the breathing, or, you know, learning how to, you know, to develop yourself, you know, the iron palm, you know, these little internal things, you know, that it's, you know, when you take away the fighting, you know, what do you have left is your health, your life. And for me, it's, you know, it's just that experience, you know. And, you know, I also did a little training with his name is Sifu John Brown. He's actually in Hollywood. He's actually from the Kwanzai, Hakka boxing, the Southern Praying Mantis. Mm-hmm. And he was in Berkeley here for a while. And I got to, you know, he came down and he was a great guy. And, you know, he does a lot of that good internal stuff, and, you know, I was fortunate to, you know, to learn with him as well and to share my art, and he was actually real great in sharing his art with me. So, you know, for me, you know, I just add more for my JKD, the Southern Mantis, and anybody in Hollywood. So, you know, if anybody's out there in Hollywood who likes to learn, you know, the Kwanzaa, the Southern Praying Mantis as well, you know, Sifu John Brown from the Benevolent Temple, Bamboo Temple. He's a great guy, and he's affiliated with us here. So, but it's to me the internal is actually a definite plus. What's better than your life? You know. Sometimes you might go through a lifetime, a lifetime, and you might never ever get into a fight. So, but your life is your life, and you only live it once. So, you know, that's pretty much what I learned is the training part. You know, the internal. You know, so that you know that's I think that's a better plus. You know, just be yourself. Be proud of yourself and, you know, and the art you're doing and just make it the best you can be. So that's
awesome.
Pass it on to Tommy now.
Right on. That's awesome, Pablo. Thank you.
No
so
problem.
And the same question goes to you, Tommy. You know, what do you love most about JKD?
Well, what I love most about JKD is just is the total everything, you know, that I love about it. But for me, when I first started, what I really liked about it was the self-defense applications. For me, coming from a hardcore karate kajakembo school, it was very all about street self-defense and protecting yourself. And that's what I took a liking to right away here when I first started back in 2000 was the street application. And then from there, that evolved into me liking more into the sensitivity drills of it and feeling, you know, knowing where the person's going, the movement, and everything that encompasses that. And then that started to wane off, and then I started to really enjoy the internal part, the Qigong breathing, the hand conditioning for the iron palm, and the likes of that. And so that's pretty much where I'm at now, just like how Pablo just hinted on was about your health. You know, you got to – this isn't just for fighting. You know, anyone can go out there and fight, but to maintain a long life of health so you'd be healthy. So all of that, I pretty much liked it all from the beginning, from the self-defense to the all the technique to – the awareness that you build up to the sensitivity to going moving with the person, and all the way up to the Qigong to the internal part. That's pretty much what I like all about JKD.
Awesome,
very cool. Sifu Felix, you might take another call.
Sure, why not? Sounds good to me.
Let me pull them on. Area code 646, first number is 476. You are live on the Dynamic Dojo. Do you have a question for Sifu Felix?
How you doing, Felix? This is Richard from New York City.
Hey, Rich, how you doing, man? Great to hear from you. Hey, all the boys want to say hello.
Hello, Richard. How you doing?
Hey.
All the boys are all excited. Rich, how you doing, man?
Nice.
No, I'm doing good. I just wanted to say, you know, it's great hearing about what you guys are doing in Oakland. I love working with you guys. I just recently went to Oakland. I live in New York City in Harlem, and I teach Jeet Kune Do here in Harlem. But I just wanted to say real quick on how I met Felix, and I found this is kind of an ironic story because I met him going on 3 years ago. That's when the first time that I went out there in Oakland to train with him in the garage. And it was actually during Bruce Lee's 70th birthday party. So I had tickets to go to that, and I went with a friend of mine who teaches meditation in New York. And it was interesting because, you know, I went there to feel closer to Bruce and to Jeet Kune Do, and I trained with a lot of the original Bruce Lee students from the more well-known schools. And going out there and going to the birthday party, I didn't feel the spirit the way that I had hoped. You know, not nothing negative about it. It was cool, but wasn't what I had hoped for. And then the next day, I had an invite to go train with Felix, and that's when I really felt what Jeet Kune Do was about. And it's been 3 years. I've been every chance I get, fly out to Oakland and train with him. But you know, the humbleness, the seriousness of the training, like the other guy said, the internal stuff. It's the real deal. I mean, like I said, I've trained with a lot of the big-name guys, and your name needs to be up there with them. So I just wanted to say that. And thank you for always sharing your beautiful art with me. And the people in New York, we really appreciate it.
Thanks again, Rich, and great hearing from you, man. And like we always say, anytime we can do anything for you, just let us know.
No problem, brother. Thank you again.
Welcome.
Thank you, Rich.
Awesome. Thanks for calling. Awesome. I just want to remind our listeners who are just listening and have not called in yet, please feel free, 347-677-0699. It's an open forum show with Luke Massey, and we've got all sorts of cool questions that we're talking about. We're talking about the members of the original Oakland JKD group. So if you are a martial artist, not necessarily JKD or Kung Fu rated, and want to know a little bit more of really what JKD is about, do call in. And that's kind of my question, Sifu, is that, you know, many martial artists out there that have heard of JKD, but have 50 billion different, you know, stereotypes about what it is. You know, if you could, you know, summarize to people in a way that most martial artists would be able to relate to, you know, how would you explain what JKD is? Because a lot of people do think that it is just a mishmash of stuff. You know, and, you know, coming from the source, how would you approach these type of people that have these incorrect stereotypes about JKD?
Well, first of all, you know, JKD to us means not a system of 26 different martial arts put together. There's no way. It's just too much to do in a lifetime.
You
know,
sure.
JKD to us means, you know, internalness. It means fulfillingness, and it means, you know, just... Your art should blanket other arts. In other words, you should be able to adapt, and that's our thing. You know, our art is pure. You know, it's offense and defense, and at some point, offense and defense, they meet right in the middle when the hands touch. And it's so different. It's kind of hard to explain. You know, you can talk over the phone all you want about everything.
Right.
But it's just until you actually touched hands and seen the art and had a tense amigo with it, then would you understand, you know? It's like I said, we could talk all night about it, you know, and to some people they'll get my point and some won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, sure, all the big names are out there in L.A. and Washington and everywhere else now, you know, and it's like JKD is everywhere now, but
mm-hmm.
It's like any other art. You want to find a good instructor, do your homework.
Yep. Uh-huh. Right on. Right
yeah,
on.
I also got another friend of mine here. His name is Nick Robinson. He's been with me a little over a year. If you don't mind, I wanted to have him give his input on what he's been with, what he's learned and done with me for the last year.
Of course. Yeah, please.
Great. Thank you. Hello?
Well, hello. Welcome.
How's it going?
Really good. Really good. Thanks for joining us on Dynamic Dojo.
Of course. Yeah, no, like Sifu said, I've been with him a little bit over a year. And the funny thing is where he lives, I grew up actually right around the corner. I'm only 24 years
old,
but every time I would walk by, I'd see the garage open. I always wondered what was going on inside. I always seen the equipment, but I never thought to step inside. I never knew what
uh-huh.
was going on. I was just like, oh, maybe they're just, you know, lifting weights or they're just practicing. I wasn't quite sure what they were doing, but I just always went about my business. Until about a little over a year ago, I was walking my dog going down to my mom's house, and I just seen everybody outside trading hands, practicing, and it was really, really caught my interest because I had been looking for something. I had never trained or done anything before. So
mm-hmm.
I stopped, and I must have been standing there for maybe 2 minutes before Sifu Felix caught me, and he came outside, he talked to me, and he invited me back that Monday. And
wow.
from the first hand touch, I just fell in love with the art. Just how simple it is, but at the same time, how powerful and unique it is. I've done extensive homework on everything around, and I have not encountered anything like this. It's one in its own.
Yeah. Now, what do you love most about training there? Well,
what
that,
I love most
like
about it, honestly, I couldn't pick one thing if I tried to. It's it's one of the things. It's because I cook for a living, and it's like when you're in a particular business like that, you have to develop a passion for something
mm-hmm.
like that. You have to have a passion for what it is that you do, and since I've been here, I've really developed a passion for this art. I've become really protective over it and anyone that tries to tarnish the name of it or try to say it's something that it's not. Because when you're in an area where you know exactly where it came from and everything like that, and then you hear all these other people say everything that it's not, you get a little bit offended.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's
right.
not to throw down anyone's name at all, but it's just, you know, you get a little, you know, when you care about something, you know, you want to protect it and you want to keep it in its realest state of what it was.
Indeed.
But to answer your question, I love everything about it. Yeah, we keep it really close-knit here. It's like a family. Like, we don't, mm-hmm. we protect each other. It's all, we're all one in the same here. Nobody's greater than the other person. We all help each other to just evolve this art to the best of its capabilities.
Mm-hmm. That's so refreshing here that you guys are, you know, a small clinic group, you know, keeping JK alive. Because, you know, you guys have heard, you know, about other arts that get, like, into these big organizations and the egos get in the way and who's better than whom and who's going to be next in line and all that crap, right? And it's just so nice to be talking with all of you gentlemen and knowing that, you know, this is the real deal. This is what, you know, martial arts training is about, helping each other. It's about family and stuff like that. So I can't begin to tell you how.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you. You know, we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, what it really comes down to with a lot of the bigger names, like Sifu said earlier, it's like you can't really say mm-hmm. you're the best. I mean, you can, you know, from your computer or whatever, but what it really comes down to is you coming down and touching the hands, you know, and it's like we're not boastful, we're not cocky or anything like that. We let the hands speak for ourselves. We don't, you know, you're not going to catch us out there pointing fingers at anybody or anything. We just sit back and we just watch.
Yes, sir.
Right
on. That's very cool.
You know, it was funny, Sifu, with all these callers. Sifu Felix must have one big ass garage.
I'm not gonna lie to you. It's a pretty good size. Like if I reached out, I'm not gonna touch anybody. We have room in here to train, but when we're in here training on a packed night, you're wondering how you're able to move around so much. But another thing that JKD really does, it helps you with your awareness on what's going on around you. So we could be practicing on the left side and then end up right over up against a washer or refrigerator and not even understand how we got over there.
Oh, very
that's,
cool.
That's always the best training places. It's the garages. You always find the greatest teachers in the garages, not in the 5,000-square-foot facility. Isn't that just cool? I love
it. It becomes watered down at that point when there's more students and it's just you can't really focus on, you know, the core group of, you know, the people who you're trying to reach. I mean, because that's what I was always told. You know, people told us originally it was done in China on the rooftops, you know.
Mhm. Exactly. That's so
exactly.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. Well,
it
looks like we have
really
another
cool.
caller.
Well,
okay, I'm going to pass you back to Sifu. It was great talking to you guys. Oh, okay, I guess we'll take the call.
Well, it was really cool. Sifu Felix, you know, Sifu, Rusty, and I spent some time together in 29 Palms a year and a half ago. You know, she's a Tai Chi practitioner, and she was showing me pushing hands, and we went, because she's also a Filipino martial artist, we went from pushing hands to chi sao, double chi sao, single chi sao, lop sao, adding guntings as well, and she adapted not knowing the JKD or not knowing the Wing Chun. It was very cool to touch hands. Go ahead, Sifu. What about that other caller from 212?
Yeah, area code 212. Area code 212. You're on Dynamic Dojo. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing? Hey, Felix. This is Stan. I wanted to phone and just comment upon when we first met. Sifu Garcia had indicated that he came out and we went to the Bruce Lee dinner. I was with him at that point, and when that was the point that we sort of, as strangers, came walking into your garage, and I'm sort of in charge. I'm a Zen priest, and I'm in charge of the psychic self-defense and deal with the applied Zen aspects of it. And one of the things we value a great deal is etiquette and graciousness. And I was really struck by the level of etiquette and graciousness that we were met with as strangers just walking into that garage that you mentioned. There was just, well, it was unusual to see somebody as Felix and his entire group is just welcoming us. We walk in, touch hands. I'm 70 now. They found somebody there to basically touch hands with me, teach me a little bit as far as that was concerned. And you don't find that. That's really difficult to find. And from my viewpoint in teaching applied Zen with some of the youngsters here in Harlem, etiquette is the foundation by which we build or upon which we build. And I was really, really struck by that as far as what Felix teaches his young men there and how he handles himself. It was really quite amazing.
Wow. That is so awesome that you say that, Stan. We really appreciate that. That's not done that much anymore, and I'm grateful for that.
Right.
Well. Mm-hmm. Well, it was really real. I mean, who were we? We're just two guys who come walking into the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows, it also shows an absolute confidence in the quality of a person's fighting ability and of their
mm-hmm.
martial arts to be that utterly relaxed and gracious when two strangers come walking in.
Mm-hmm.
And, and it really speaks to not only Felix, but it speaks to his father as well.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Agreed. And you're completely correct, Stan. It is rare to find because, you know, I myself have visited a few schools where, you know, you come in and you instantly feel that energy of, who the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, I just came to watch, you know, and,
uh-huh.
and,
mm-hmm.
and no one would come and greet you, you know, and if they did come and greet you, they'd literally stick a contract in your face. And I just want to watch. I don't want to sign a contract. I just want to figure out what's going on, and it is hard to find that. And when you do find that kind of graciousness and a sense of welcoming into the family, so to speak, it will take you aback in a way because after a few experiences of going to schools that want to ignore you unless you sign a contract, it's refreshing to find that kind of family atmosphere. So that's just so awesome, Stan. Thanks for sharing that.
Certainly. And again, we were taken aback, and also Sifu Garcia and I took back a lot of what Felix was teaching us here to New York. So I'll sign out with that. And Felix, I'm looking towards our next trip to San Francisco to spend some time.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And I want to thank you for calling in, giving your opinion. It's real valuable to us.
All right, later, dude. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for calling. Wow.
I have a question for a student. To his students that are on the line, what is it like? Now, we've asked you this in different ways. What is it like, the training aspect? Is it really structured? Is it very, lax? How is it with training with that aspect with Sifu Felix?
Okay, I'm going to hand the phone over to one of my other guys, Josh Gomez. And he's been with me for about 3-4 months, I believe, a little longer. And
cool.
He will give you that aspect and kind of give you his opinion on what he likes and what he don't like. Hang on, please.
Hi, how are you doing?
Really good.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right here. Okay. Hi. So, what was the question?
The question was, what is it like training with Felix in the? Because some schools you've got are very discipline oriented. You know, you do something wrong, drop and give you 20. Is it structured? Is it lax? Is it? Is there a game plan going in? Because myself as an instructor, when I go to teach, I have to figure it out. What's it like?
Well, training here is a lot different than what you see on the internet, like the JKD concept stuff. Like a lot of the concept stuff is like what he was saying earlier, like ideas. And ideas are like other people's ideas, which is not the original JKD, which is Bruce was teaching. So it's kind of hard to say they can't call it JKD, but it's hard to kind of say that they can, because what he's teaching
mm-hmm.
is directly Bruce. It hasn't been changed. It's Bruce and James. So what I like about it is also I noticed Bruce Lee, I never really saw Bruce Lee when he punched, he never threw his arm out straight and locked it out. See, Felix taught us that it's your arm's always at a 90 and then it comes back slightly. It never locks out, because that's where your opponent can grab your arm, lock it, and break it. Also, they teach us when we're in a boxing, almost like a boxing position, right, that our thumbs are never sticking out, because the opponent can grab you, grab your thumb, have your way with you, take you down easy. Our thumbs are back, like almost like a balled up position, but not completely balled up. You know, we're relaxed. They showed us how to be relaxed too. Like when you're tense and your opponent is on you, and you're both tense, or one guy's tense. If you're relaxed and your opponent's on you, the tense guy's not going to be able to move you. because you're relaxed. So that's mm-hmm. another key thing that they showed us that, you know, that I really liked about the art too. And, you know, always the lead foot is usually you kick with the lead foot. It's great. It's just like all the stuff he taught us, it works. Everything that we saw, like that, or that I saw on the internet, like guys doing, you know, he showed me what can happen if you use a lot of the concept stuff. And I'm not saying that these people are bad for using them. What I'm saying is it's not the original JKD. So he just kept mm-hmm. it tight. He kept it the way it was from the 60s with him and Bruce and Jimmy Lee. So I think that's really cool. It's hard to find JKD. I looked all over for JKD on the net. Most of it, they overcharge, and they don't give you the pure original stuff. He gives you the pure original stuff, but his mentality is like Bruce Lee. Like, it's more about the art than the money. So that's what I really mm-hmm. appreciate about Sifu Macias.
Oh,
yep.
Very cool.
That's so awesome. When some instructors lose touch what it's about. Right?
I'm sorry.
I don't want to open up a can of worms. I don't want to upset anybody. But if you're making a living at it, that is, sometimes that's what it turns into.
Right, mm-hmm. right. People get mad. They get upset. They want to fight. It's not so much about who's better than who. It's about what works. It's about
right.
what works. And eliminating what doesn't work. It's not about fighting each other, you know. It's just about getting to the truth, the essence of the martial art. And if people get mad, hey, let them get mad. But we're gonna use what works. And you know, if they want, if they want to test it on us, they can. You know, we'll show them what we have works. And we're not trying to call anybody out. We're just trying to say, hey, this is what we do. We keep it tight. We keep it original, shortcut, direct. And we don't want anything that doesn't work. We don't want all kinds of different steps. We want an economy of motion. Simple, direct, mm-hmm. get the opponent down fast, end the fight. That's what we want. We want to keep it the original way.
Very cool.
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
right. I want to remind our listeners of our phone number here. It's 347-677-0699. Now, I have a question for, well, everybody there on on Sifu Felix's side. We've heard the word, you know, Qigong, internal, mentioned a few times. And, you know, some of the listeners that are not familiar with JKD that tend to have the stereotypes that I was talking about earlier, might not see how should we say, the benefit of the internal side. Now, I know we had touched on it here and there throughout the course of our conversation, but for all of you gentlemen over there, can we get your opinions on, you know, what benefits that the internal side can have to your JKD practice or martial arts in general? Because, you know, I've met a lot of people that tend to poo-poo the internal side and, you know, kind of look at it as, oh, you know, that's what old people do, or that's what monks should do, you know, I'm a fighter, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and all that crap. So, you know, what would your guys' take be on the benefits of the internal side as it applies to JKD, since we're talking about JKD?
Well, hello again. It's Felix here. And,
hi.
Well, the internal aspect part of it is people just don't realize how valuable it is. You know, sure, it's like it's almost like back in the day, you know, acupuncture, herbs, and everything else was almost like voodoo. You know, Western medicine was number one. Now you're starting mm-hmm. to see people turn to alternative medicine, acupuncture, qigong, herbs, and everything else, you know, besides being mm-hmm. on antibiotics every day. You know, doctors making a lot of money on this.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it's part of the core of our training. To me, anybody that teaches should be pretty well rounded, and a lot of them ain't, and a lot of them are just fabricated. What I mean by that is, you know, the Qigong, the internal medicine, the iron palm, and the training all goes together. You know, if you want to be a legitimate martial artist, you should have this. You know, that's what I believe. And if you're not, well, a lot of guys go do a lot of sports training, you know. And, you know, it's some people like it, some don't, you know. It just depends on what your preference is. You know, some people chose mm-hmm. for years for different martial arts, and most of them
a lot of guys ain't happy. They find something here, they find something there. And then a lot of people will stick to a Sifu instructor. You know, they're loyal, but deep down inside, it's like, damn, they want to leave this place and find something else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to implement on this, but I do know that, you know, for us, the Qigong, you know, the breathing exercises and the air palm and the external remedies that we have and everything go hand in hand with our art. That's what Jimmy Lee taught. And, of course, that's what Jimmy Lee taught to Bruce Lee as well.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. All right. What about some of the other guys over there with you, Felix? What are your guys take on the benefits of the internal side? And why it's important to not forget.
Okay. All right. I'll pass the phone around to some of the guys.
All right.
You know, and I'll start off with Pablo. Okay.
Oh, great.
Yeah, hi. For the Qigong, for me, it's our Qigong, it's real important, you know, the internal breath, like, how do we live? We live by breath, you know? So mm-hmm. we know that there's two ways of living, is water and breath. And so for the, you know, for breathing, you know, it's a coordination of breath, you know, breath and mind and body. It's controlling, you know, your one self, you know, your energy within self, you know, making yourself believe that you can do whatever thing's possible. You know, there's a misconception of when people develop, you know, the iron body. You know, there's a lot of people who go through regiments of beating, they get sticks and they get hit, they get punched over and over. They go through this difficult beating in their body, in their back, they get stomped. And we've seen some guys here getting jumped on their back and, you know, thinking this is the way you develop the, you know, the iron body and stuff like that. And it's not. It's actually the coordination of your breath. And if you take your time and you focus on your breathing, you know, it allows you to control, you know, your muscles, your tendons. It helps you, you know, when you're ill, it helps you to get stronger. It helps you to direct, from your tendons to prevent injuries. So it's a lot, but for me, it's the learning how to slow down your breath to keep your heart rate, you know, at a pace. So that way,
mm-hmm.
when you're in a fight, it happens with all of us. Whenever say somebody you don't know, an opponent, what happens? Sometimes you get a little excited, your heartbeat starts pumping,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like the adrenaline coming, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you do the breath, where you're working on your qigong, your breath and breath, you know, what it does is it allows you, you know, to slow down your heart. It allows you to, you know, to protect your vital, you know, your internal. So let's say you get punched or you get kicked. And, you know, there's some pretty big people out there. We've gone through a lot of guys who are bodybuilders or strong or tall. We've seen guys, you know, kick like mules and stuff. So it's just a protection of, just allowing yourself to, you know, to protect your body, so you can be one with yourself. So it's just, it's good for fighting, but I think it's great for health. If you ever go out there, we see, like over here, there's like a park. You see all these old people, you know, doing their breathing. You know, there's like 90-year-old women doing the splits. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's like, it's incredible. You know, you look at that.
Yeah.
And for health. So, you know, it's not for fighting. It's for everybody. So it's just one of the things that I think that we keep true, you know, that just helps us in our, you know, in our journey, you know, to be a better human, you know. So
mm-hmm.
so that helps out, you know.
Well, I'm glad that you guys think so, because, like, you know, too many people think that martial arts is all about the external aspect. And this is kind of a funny story, but I'll go ahead and share it anyway. I was in China back in 2001, and while we were doing some sightseeing, we were climbing the Great Wall. We were coming onto the Great Wall from the Beijing side, so we had to climb a bunch of stairs before we actually got, you know, to the place where we could walk flat. And the steps are huge. They're like not, if you could imagine, like two or three regular size curbs stacked on top of each other, that was a step. So here I am, I'm sucking wind. I'm like, oh my God, wait for me, you guys. Just wait. And there was this little kid running up the steps. And while I was standing there huffing and puffing, there was this little old lady, little old Chinese lady, running after this little kid. This lady looked like she had to have been like, you know, I don't know, 80 or something like that, 75 or 80. She's running up these steps. I was like, holy crap, really? Really? So I asked our interpreter, I said, you know, can you ask that lady how she got so fit? So she goes over there and asks the lady in Chinese, you know, how is it that you're so fit running up these stairs while us Americans are, you know, sucking wind? And the lady just said one word. She said, qigong. That was it. She just said, you know, neijia, qigong, neijia, qigong. And we understood. We went, wow. And then our interpreter said, how old are you? And she was 98. Wow. 98 years old. Looks like she was like 75 or 80, running up these steps. And she said, Neja, every day since she was 13, never missed a day. That was just like, wow. And that really like turned me on to, you know, to the internal. I was like, wow. Because I was studying internal at the time, but, you know, it really didn't hit home until I saw that lady running up those steps. I was like, wow.
And you were 60 years younger than her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, boy, oh boy, you know, there's something that we're missing if we really don't, you know, get into the internal side now. You know, a lot of people think that the internal side is for old people only. Well, that little old lady is a testament to, you know, you can still do it when you're older if you start now. So anyway,
that's
pretty
right.
Funny story, you know, and it's really absolutely great to hear from Felix and Pablo and Tommy and all those guys that, you know, that it's such an important aspect of JKD. Well, let's, what do you think, people, Bob? Let's go ahead and take another caller.
I'd like to bring on a caller.
Yeah, let's do that.
We've got Wolfgang from Cleveland that wants some support. Let's bring him on live. Wolfgang, you are live on the air on the Dynamic Dojo. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, Sifu Macias. Just want to call and give her support from Cleveland.
All right. Thanks a lot, Wolfgang. How you doing?
Not too bad. How you guys doing up there?
Oh, pretty good. Not bad. And I sure wanted to thank you for that herb book that I got from you guys. That's an incredible book. I love it.
No problem, man. I'm glad to hear you guys get the recognition you guys deserve. I want people to realize how rare it is to have a JKD group that practices internal and what a big part of that actually was a Bruce's and James' training.
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of it. You know, they that's how they did it back in the day over here in Oakland. You know, I mean, you know, they were a couple of internal guys, and you know, the same training stays with us today. You know, we don't, like I said, fabricate or make it all you know, theatrical or nothing. You know, it's just like any kind of martial art. You know, if you're shopping, you know, look for something you like. And if you don't like this, well, continue on, you know, until you find something, you know. And it's like, people just don't realize how the internal aspects are super important to a martial art.
Yeah, Bruce did quite a bit of conditioning. A lot of people just don't seem to get that they leave that whole part out of the equation. And he was very, very big on conditioning.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people also don't realize the other part of that who got him started was James Lee, you know. James Lee
right.
was a weightlifter, I guess he was a champ in his own weight division, and he also did the Iron Palm stuff, and I found out through Rodney and everything about the lineage of the James Lee Iron Palm, the guy by
right.
the name of Kuyu Chong, you know. When I pulled that name up and I seen that online, oh, man, it freaked me out. I hadn't realized the, you know, that was an important find in the last couple of days. You know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm great to hear you guys are getting what you guys deserve, and you guys hang in there, man.
Thanks a lot. Sure appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, take
Thank
care.
Thank you, Wolfgang.
See you guys.
Thanks for calling. Awesome. All right. Well, we're getting close to the end of our time here on the air. But I have one question, and I don't know, Bob, if you have another last question. But my last question is for Sifu Felix. Sifu, for all of the JKD practitioners out there in the world who might be listening now or will be listening to our archive show, what advice would you give them to help them in their training?
hello. Once again, I was disrupted by the BART going by. Could you please repeat it?
Yeah, you bet. I was like, wow, there goes the BART again.
Yeah. I was like, okay, awful that, you know.
Yeah. What advice would you give to all the JKD practitioners out there that have just gotten into JKD or even, you know, intermediate or advanced practitioners of it? What advice would you give for them to help them in their training?
Well, I would tell them, please come down to the original Oakland Jeet Kune Do School as taught by James and Bruce Lee. Give us a look, you know, and more than welcome to check out everybody else out there. You know, I know I realize a lot of people are, you know, the distance they live from. It's kind of hard to get to us. But, you know, it'd be nice any way you can to get down here if you like. And for all the JKD practitioners that are just beginning, do your homework. Check out the lineage. It's very, very important. You know, like I said, anybody can learn from another guy that got a certificate last week, you know. To me, the JKD system, you know, a lot of it has been watered down. You know, I'm not going to lie about it. You know, it has been watered down, and it suffered a pretty good impact on his name. And I know James and Bruce are probably they'd probably be a little bit pissed off right now if they were alive, you know. Everything else. But, like I said, do your homework, you know, and make your mind up, take your time.
Wow. Great advice. Hey, Sifu, can I bring Matt's back on the line? He has something else to say. You mind if I bring him back on for you?
Sure, bring him on.
Hey there, guys. I just wanted to say real quick before we get off there. Hi there. I just wanted to mention for the listeners out there that you know what we do there. It's not a sport, and I wanted to be clear about that. And what we do, it's really for self-defense, real street defense. I mean, Bruce and James, you know, they taught us to use whatever you got. And if we got ideas, we'll throw it by Felix, and, you know, he'll break it down with us, and he'll go, well, that won't work, and I'll show you why. Or, you know, hey, that's pretty good, you know, that works, that makes sense. You know, maybe you can make it better this way. So it's always good about fluid training. He always explains well, and I love being there and the family there.
Very cool.
Yeah, great. That's pretty good, Matt. Sure appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, Felix.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for calling.
Bye, Rob. Thank you.
All right. Well, sure has been a pleasure, Bob, being on the show with you and everything. And anything else that you would like to be mentioned or said, feel free to go ahead and ask us before we get off.
Absolutely. Now, being that you are street savvy, you know, we've evolved into an animalistic culture that some of the arts I've studied are a matter of ripping and tearing, throw its eyes, almost like a lethal approach. Plus, we've got weapons in the mix, knife, gun defense. Do you institute any of the ripping and the tearing or the throat grab, C-clamp, or weapons defenses within your training?
Oh, yes. I love the eye jab, the knee kick, the groin kick, especially with women. I recently started a women's class Tuesday, Thursdays, and I really implement that. A lot of schools will teach a woman how to fight with a guy, you know, and, you know, it's genetics. It's really hard to do that, you know. I teach my women, you know, hit the groin, hit the knee, and hit the eyes and get the hell out of there, you know, take off. Yeah, no sense of, you know, trying to get your life caught up in the... You know, it ain't gonna work. Maybe in the mat or in a school or something like this, you know, where the rules are regulated, sure it's gonna work because they got refs. On the street, you don't have no referee. Do what you got to do, then go home.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you.
I agree.
Now, tell us a little bit about your iron palm work. You do some iron palm work, and you and I were discussing this morning. You know, with the trapping drills, if somebody's really trained in iron palm, they could really hurt somebody, you know, with that one solid pox up. Tell us about your iron palm work.
Well, I started doing that probably in the 80s, and I started breaking things. Probably the last thing I broke, no lie, was a coconut, you know. I was able to put it on the table and a couple swipes at it, third swipe, I cracked it in half. And that was through a lot of training, you know, through a lot of training where, you know, that's your qigong, that's your herbs, that's your internalist. You take your time. Too many people, they just get a piece of concrete or sand or a tree and they start banging the hell out of it.
hands become all brittle and corraled out. And when you get older, you develop arthritis. You can't move as well. You know, it's something that you take your time with. You want to keep your mobility in your fingers. You know, and the iron palm is nothing to play with. It's, you know, it's usually used as a last resort and called upon when you need it. You know, condition of the hands will be there, but iron palm is pulled from within the body.
Oh, very good. Now I'm curious, how did you break the coconut? Was it with a palm strike, knife hand?
Oh, it was a palm strike. It was a right hand palm strike. Three breaths came down and I was able to do it. I used to do a lot of stuff. I used to break slabs of bricks and everything else, boards and the whole thing, you know. Learning from the you know, the same system that James Lee taught my father. And I also, by the way, I have both of the two original iron palm books that Jimmy Lee produced. You know, there's some of them have the picture with Al Novak and some, you know, there's book one part A, book one part B. And I'm lucky enough to have both of them. And I was told that it's very rare to have both of them. I have them in my possession.
Oh, that is so cool. Now, Sifu Rusty, because Sifu Felix and I discussed this morning, and you posted these pictures, must have been a year and a half, 2 years ago. Weren't they supposed to open up a Bruce Lee Museum in Seattle?
Yes. In fact, there was a small museum that was opened up in a local Chinese mall. Over here by my end of town, and it was there for about a year, and then the next time I went into that mall, it was gone, and I was like, well, where did it go? Because there was like big news about it, you know, that Linda was supposed to come down and help with the dedication of the museum, and you know, and I was like, where did it go? And I haven't heard anything of it.
Well, as far as I know, as they were supposed to be building one in Washington. I believe a guy by the name of Tommy Gong, he just written a new book on Bruce Lee. You know, he wrote about Oakley in Seattle and I want to say L.A. and everything. And the book was supposed to be, the profits were supposed to be donated towards that museum, but I'm not sure what happened there. You know, we had the pleasure of meeting Linda Lee probably about a few months ago here at a town where I live in, not too far. And I met her, you know, and she was a really nice lady. And I was kind of hoping she would be listening in, maybe her Aunt Shannon, you know. And I had written an article in a magazine a while back. It was in the Inside Kung Fu magazine. The editor was Dave Cater. And the guy who was interviewing me was a guy named Johnny Williams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2001, I think, something like that.
2005.
Or 2005, I believe,
May
yes.
May of 2005.
You know, May of 2005. And it was done quarterly, and it never came out after that. Sammo Hung was on the front cover, you know. And, yeah, it was just kind of, you know, it was kind of nice if I can actually, you know, we could have reached her. And in that book, in the article, at the very end of it, I just, they asked me, you know, what I was, you know, who I was at the very end of it. I just told them I was just a Kung Fu man who came and went my own way, you know. And, I also thank the Chinese community, which was Jimmy and Bruce and the families of everybody that, you know, that we got our lineage from. You know, I thank the Chinese community. And I actually had a couple guys from China that did call me up, and they thanked me for saying that. They said nobody's ever done
cool.
that. You know, because, you know, I like to give back. I'm not here to put my name and label everything that don't belong to me. I love to keep the lineage.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about the Bruce Lee Museum. All I heard was, I'm like Googling it right now, all I heard was that on February 9th of this year, at a hotel in downtown Seattle, there was a big benefit during Chinese New Year to go toward the funding of the Bruce Lee Action Museum, the BLAM Museum. But it says nothing about
where I haven't heard much about it as well either. You know, our lineage, like I said, our school represents the James Lee Kung Fu School here in Oakland, the original Oakland Kung Fu School, where everything started and where it began. You know, that's, you know, I think our group we stayed with the motto, you know, the originators, not the impersonators, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like to keep it. And as well, you know, just that's how we did it. You know, I don't like to fabricate or lie or, hey, if you don't like this, how about this? Or, you know, I'm not here to please. If we are, if you want to learn our system, fine, you're more than welcome to join us. And if you're not, well, the garage door is always open. Continue shopping. That's what I tell all the guys. You're not happy here? Go take a look, see what you like. I'm there to fabricate, give certificates, or put a bunch of neon lights in here in my garage, you know. It don't work like that. We keep it real.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Well, we've got about 4.5 minutes left. I do want to know, does your father still teach?
No, not very often. He'll stop by here, and, you know, he'll give us, you know, he'll talk and show a couple of techniques. But, yeah, he doesn't teach very much. He just basically retired and taking it easy at the moment, you know. I pretty much took the load over and everything and, you know, teach on his behalf and everything.
Very cool. Now, if our listeners want to get a hold of you to train, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they can get us on our website, which is www.oaklandjkd.com, or you can email me, felix@oaklandjkd.com, or you can call me up straight, direct, 510-432-7724.
Cool.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, if you get on our website, I have my three instructors that are listed as well, you know, if you're in their region. One, Tommy is in Livermore, Pablo's in the Oakland area, and Rudy is in the Castro Valley area. Now, those three guys they gave permission to teach because they represent and they know how to do it well. They know all the fundamentals. I'm not giving out permission so I can have people lay roots and mess everything up. No way. We're going to keep it. I'm really, really, I'm a stickler to keep the rules straight here. I don't want to let politics and everything else get in the way of this. You know, everybody and the guys, you know, we all work too hard to let that happen. And we're going to keep the foundation strong.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Awesome. Well, all right. Wow. We managed to, like, get through 2 hours, and I don't know where the time went, Bob.
It was a lot of listeners, a lot of callers,
great questions, great comments. He's really got a following. I'm impressed by his no-crap attitude. It was a great interview. I really appreciate it, Sifu, really.
Oh, I sure appreciate you letting us be on your show, and I want to thank you guys both.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Good interview.
Woo!
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, if you guys are in the neighborhood, ever come to the Bay Area, you let us know. We'll be more than happy to, you know, show you what we do and everything. It'd be a pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. That would be great. I'd love to come visit. I'd love to come visit. It would be an honor. Right on. Thank you so much, Sifu, Felix, Pablo, and Tommy, everyone that called. Wow, what a great show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Bob, what happened to our dude? Did you hit the button?
I did.
I was like, what happened to my music? Dang it.
Oh, no, I didn't hit the button. I hit the applause button that one time. It went off.
Oh, right. So thank you again, Sifu, Felix, Pablo, and Tommy. Everyone that called in, thank you, Bob, for being an awesome co-host as always. And sorry, listeners, for the stupid technical difficulties that we had earlier, but I'm going to blame it on the servers. I'm just going to blame it on the servers because my computer never does. Dang it. All right, so we will talk to you of our listeners next week. Please keep eyes peeled on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page for news on next week. So we will talk to everybody next time. Thanks, Sifu, Felix, and everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.